I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Let me remind you that by going to our websites and also by writing us that we'll be glad to send you Bible studies free of charge. You can also go to our websites and find out how to download the transcripts of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You can also go on there on our websites and listen to these programs once again of It's a Good Life. At the end of this broadcast today, be listening as Doug gives you the addresses of our websites and also an address where you can write to receive free information about how to go to heaven, about how to live the Christian life, and many other things that's on your heart. If you'd like to write in for prayer, by all means do that. Well, in our last two studies of preparing for victory, we've been looking at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. And we've been considering what the Lord expected His people Israel to do in order to inherit the promised land. In it, we see a parallel for the church if we are to experience our spiritual Canaan. Now, by the church, I simply mean, and I don't mean to use the word simply, I mean people of God. Most of us aren't enjoying the victory of Canaan because we are unwilling to meet God's standard of holiness. Well, please understand, the promised land is not a picture of salvation, but rather a picture of victorious Christian living. I want to take just a few moments to review what we have learned thus far. In our first study, we dealt with the character of sin. Now, there were seven Gentile nations that inhabited Canaan, who must be removed if Israel was to dwell in victory. Now, these nations pictured how sin hinders the church even in our day, how that sin hinders God's people. The Hittites, they allowed sin to remain, or they were allowed to remain, and so that means that sin is allowed to remain in our lives. That's a picture of that. Gergesites, little is known about them, and this would be the secret sins of life. And the Amorites, they were bitter. They rebelled. And that happens to a lot of Christians today, getting bitter and rebelling against God. The Canaanites, known for immorality and false worship and merchants or peddlers. And we see that in many instances. All the people that who say they are of God are not of God. They become peddlers of merchandise instead of telling people about the true God. Parasites, these dwelt in unwalled villages, and they allowed the world in. Of course, people do that today as saved people. The Hivites, unwilling to fight, they were arrogant. They believed that they could do things on their own. They were filled with pride. And the Jebusites, trodden underfoot. Well, today, we want to look at something different. And remember, the last time we saw the challenge of sin. We learned that sin must be acknowledged. We must admit our sin and realize that we can't handle it in ourselves. We also saw that sin must be addressed. We can't deny our sin or ignore it. We must address it. And then we saw also that sin must be abandoned. There was no such thing as sin in moderation or a little indulgence. Sin must be forsaken, abandoned, and forgotten. Well, let's continue our study now, preparing for victory. We now need to consider the truths revealed concerning the conviction of sin in verses 6 through 8 of Deuteronomy 7. It says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon us, nor choose us, because we were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Now that we've considered the character of sin and the challenge regarding sin, where does that leave us? What was the purpose in all of this for the children of Israel? Why did God demand that the Gentile nations be destroyed? Why was God so concerned with Israel? Well, looking at it from our perspective, what does all this mean to us? Why does God care for us and seek our good? Why does He deal with us in relation to sin in our lives? Well, these verses in Deuteronomy chapter 7 reveal the reason for conviction of sin and the beauty associated with it. God desires the best for His people, and that always means an absence of sin. We cannot live without sin. It's all around us, but we can do our best to rise above it and live closer to the Lord. But looking at this passage, considering that the Gentile nations is a picture of sin in our lives, let's consider why God brings conviction to our hearts regarding sin. I see, first of all, that we are a sanctified people according to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and the first part of verse 6. It says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God." Do you remember the origin of the nation of Israel? God came to a man by the name of Abraham who dwelt in the land of Ur, a land of idolatry and wickedness. God brought Abraham out of sin and separated him unto himself so that he might establish a people that would serve him. And this according to Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 through chapter 12 and verse 5. Well, hundreds of years later, after God spoke to Abraham and brought him out, you know, out of that land, even after 430 years in Egypt, God brought Israel to the promised land. This was hundreds of years after he talked to Abraham, and these were his people, Israel. They were brought out and holy people that God had set apart to live for him. Now, we are not of the chosen people of Israel, but we have been chosen of the Lord as saved people. He came to each of us in our sin and called us to himself. We are no longer of this world. We belong to the Lord. God provided the means of our salvation, and at the moment that we were saved, we became part of the family of God. Now, God wants us to get rid of sin in our lives because we are His. We are to be a holy people, a people who live according to the ways of God. We've been forgiven of our sin, and God wants us to live holy and upright lives before Him. Well, salvation is amazing, and we must be like Abraham. We dwelt in a land of sin, and God chose us out of all our sinful condition to come to Him. And God brings conviction because we are His. In other words, when we do wrong, God convicts us of that. Well, I see also that we are also a separated people. Not only are we a sanctified people, we are a separated people according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and the last part of verse 6, chapter 7, verse 6. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Well, God chose Israel to be a special people unlike other nations. They were the children of Almighty God. They were not of this world. They were a people who were set apart by the Lord. Well, if the Gentile nations were allowed to remain, Israel would be tempted to become like them. Of all the people upon the earth, none could claim the separation that Israel enjoyed. Well, the same is true for us who are saved on our way to heaven. God has called us to live a life separated unto Him. We are His and not of this world. God desires and expects us to be different. If sin is allowed to remain in our lives, then we appear no different than the world. People who have never trusted Christ as Savior do not have what the Christian possesses. They don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. They don't have the Holy Spirit within them, leading them and guiding their lives. If anyone ought to be different and separate, it ought to be the church, God's people, the saved people. And you and I, who name the name of the Lord, we are those people. We're part of the church that God has ordained that we should live according to His standard of life. Well, God brings conviction to us so that we might continue to live separated lives and And sadly, there seems to be little, if any, difference in the world than the average church member or the average Christian today. I want to be set apart for the Lord. Many have no desire to attend church because they know others who do. I want to live a life that leaves no doubt to the people of this world as to whose I am. Well, we are also a special people, according to Deuteronomy chapter 7, so was Israel. It says there, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, or choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. And verse 8 says, but because the Lord loved you. Do you fully understand what the Lord has said in these verses? Israel was not special just because they were descendants of Abraham. They were not special because who they were. They were special because of who God is and what He loved, and that He loved them. God chose to favor them above the rest. He chose to make His covenant with them. They were special because God made them special. Now, I had nothing to offer the Lord. There was nothing that I had that I could that He would desire. I was just a person living in the midst of a troubled life when He came to me. The Lord touched my heart and revealed Himself to me, showing me that He loved me and wanted to save me from my sin. Some 2,000 years ago, provision was made for me, and that makes me pretty special to the Lord. I live my life today, I know that I am special to the Lord. It is not because of my background or any of my achievements that I've done, but it is all in His good grace. God chose to show His favor to one who was undeserving. That's me. If you are saved, you are special to the Lord. Well, we are also a secure people. God said to the people of Israel, but because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath that He had sworn unto His fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Well, many times sin in our lives reflects a lack of dependence on our Lord. Many times our lives show a message that we cannot or will not trust the Lord. The saved are secure in Jesus. If you are saved, He will care for you. I pray that this passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy 7, has spoken to you as it did to me. God wants each of His children to enjoy the land of promise. You can have that personally, and we can have that as a united people for the Lord, but it is only achieved God's way. He's brought some things to our attention through these sections of Scriptures that we've been reading. I hope that He's done that with you. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, before you can prepare for victory of entering God's promised land, you must be one of His children. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you are not one of God's children. You need to say, Lord, come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior. I can't save myself. Please save me so I can be one of Your children.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.